The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on May 7th, 1985 at Nuk Panihati Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 2, Text 28 through 31.
Arjuna asked the same thing of Krishna, that why is it after hearing so many good instructions, why is it that knowingly we do abominable actions? Krishna said, because of your lust. Spiritual master gives Krishna, naturally, Krishna is all attractive. The Prabhupada explains that because we are like jaundiced people, even we taste sugar, when we have jaundice, we think it's bitter. The Bhagavad Gita says that for a person in materialistic consciousness, the things in the mode of goodness appear bitter at first, but in the end they're sweet. And those things which are in the mode of ignorance and passion, they appear very, in the mode of passion, they appear very sweet at first, but in the end they become bitter, like poison. So we're addicted to, like children, we want to take the sweet first, we want to immediately have our sense gratification, and then in the end we suffer for that. So Srayas and Prayas, we have to see the short range and the long range. Just like a person goes to university, struggles, gets an education so he can get a good job, so he can get some good income. That means he's got some plan. He has a plan extending over several years. He endures sitting through classes and cramming for exams for some material higher purpose. So similarly, we have to also have that type of, you know, determination, at least, to understand that to get eternal happiness, to achieve Krishna consciousness, which is unending, we have to expect that in the beginning we may have to be a bit determined, enthusiastic, even though we may not initially, because of our disease condition, get a complete taste. The spiritual master is giving everything, but unfortunately we are so impure that when we taste it, we're thinking that sugar is bitter. And therefore we are following our lust rather than following our higher intelligence. So we have to take the intelligence of the spiritual master. We have to guide ourselves by that intelligence of sadhu, shastra and guru. And once we get over the grossest level of our material contamination, then we can taste the sweet nectar. The person expects to get cured from the disease without taking the medicine, without seeing the doctor, without following the treatment, just by what? By just some imagination? No, there's a treatment, there's a medicine, there's a diet. You have to eat Krishna prasadam, you have to chant Hare Krishna as the medicine, you have to follow the treatment given. Getting up from Mangal Arati, associating with devotees, doing devotional service. And you have to take advice and from the doctor and the other assistant doctors and nurses who are there, the guru and Vaishnavas. And if a person is so rebellious, that goes into the hospital, doesn't have the patience even to just even take the first treatment, and then runs out and he says, why am I diseased? What has the doctor given me? What have you taken? Guru is giving, but the disciple, if he doesn't take, then whose fault is it? Maybe Rupanuga Prabhu could further enlighten us on this subject.
One can pray to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who so mercifully come before us, that never mind, in my heart, I'm actually so attached. I'm only making this prayer out of duty. But I'm praying to you, please take away my material attachments. Take away these material attachments so I can follow my spiritual master and please him. Never mind my free will. I now sign it away. I give permission. Take it. My free will belongs to you. It causes me nothing but trouble. Because by my free will, I'll walk out. By my free will, I won't understand your mercy. So it's this free will. You can't escape it. It's always going to be there. We have to pray to Nityananda Prabhu to control it, to take it, to offer it to him as our service, our devotional service. Because one of my godbrothers, Madhusudan Prabhu, asked Srila Prabhupada the same question in the storefront. Srila Prabhupada, why are we in here? Why are we here before you? How are we so fortunate? Srila Prabhupada answered, why are you out on the street? Why aren't you out on the street passing the storefront? Why aren't you walking by with the other people? And Madhusudan couldn't answer it. Srila Prabhupada said, free will. You choose to be here and they choose to be out there. That is the only difference. But you can't escape it. You can't ask why I have to misuse my, why can't you take my free will for me? Why can't you have to give it, voluntarily give it up. Because basically you only use it twice, to come in this material world and to go out. That's the only times we need it. Now we've chosen to go out. Don't use it again. You chose to stay in. But it takes a lot of prayer and commitment to keep from choosing to go out again. It's only needed twice.
Very good point. The point is that the more that you do it, it's like a scale. When you have 100% in Maya, you have 0% spiritual. What you're doing is you're transferring. So that initial transfer may seem difficult, but the more you put on the other side, your side gets lighter. And when you're over the 50% mark, then it starts to get really nice. And as it comes up to 99%, then you're in ecstasy. And that's the example of Bhaktivinoda time. At 99%, you're in bhava. You're in ecstasy. And then it's up to Krishna when he makes it 100%. Hare Krishna. Translation. My dear friends, unless I serve the transcendental form, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna, all my days and all my senses will become entirely useless. Now I am uselessly bearing the burden of my senses, which are like stone blocks and dried wood. I do not know how long I will be able to continue without shame. Vangsi gana mrittadam lavanya mrita janmastan yena deke sa chanda vadana senayane ki bakaja paruka taramunde baja senoyana rohe ki karuna. Translation. Of what use are eyes if one does not see the face of Krishna, which resembles the moon and is the birthplace of all beauty and the reservoir of the nectarian songs of his flute? Oh, let a thunderbolt strike his head. Why does he keep such eyes? Purport. The moonlight face of Krishna is the reservoir of nectarian songs and the abode of his flute. It is also the root of all bodily beauty. If the eyes of the gopis are not engaged in seeing the beautiful face of Krishna, it is better that they be struck by a thunderbolt. For the gopis to see anything but Krishna is uninteresting and indeed detestable. The gopis are never pleased to see anything but Krishna. They do not find any reason to maintain their eyes when they are bereft of the beauty of Krishna. Krishna Ramadurbani Amitera Tarangini Tar Probesha Nahi Jeshobane Kana kori chidra sama jani ho se sravana ta janma hoilo akarone. Translation. Topics about Krishna are like waves of nectar. If such nectar does not enter one's ear, the ear is no better than the whole of a damaged conch shell. Such an ear is created for no purpose. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3:17-24. Ayur harati vai pungsang udyanashtang chayan asau tasyate yat kshano nita uttama sloka vartaya tarava king na jivanti basta king na svasantyuta nakadanti namihanti kinga me pasavo pare swavid varahoshta karai sangstuta purusha pasu na yat karna pato peto jatu nama gadagraja bileba torukama vikramamne nasinvata karna pute narasya jivasati darduri kevasuta nachopagayatyurugaya gatha bharaparang patta kiratta jushtam apyuttamangam nanamena mokundam savaukarau no kurute sabaryang harela satkanchana kankanava barhaite te nayane narayana barahite te nayane naranang lingani vishnona nirikshato ye padau nrinang tau duma janma bajau kshetrani nanu vrajato harirayau jivan chavo bhagavatangrinenum na jatu matyo vilabheta yastu sri vishnu padyamanu jastu lasya swasan chavo yastu na veda gandham tad asma sarang hidayang batedang yad grihamanai harinamadeyai na vikriyetata yadavikaro netre jalangatsaruheshu harsha. Everyone understood that? So translation here. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord should be considered to possess ears like the holes of snakes and a tongue like that of a frog. The upper portion of the body, though crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, who can award mukti, freedom. And the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man, if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, Hari. The eyes, which do not look at the symbolic representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, his forms, names, qualities, pastimes, etc., are like those printed on the plumes of a peacock. And the legs, which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. The person who has not at any time received upon his head the dust from the feet of a pure devotee of the Lord is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the flavor of the tulasi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Certainly the heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes, and the hairs stand on end. End of the translation. And quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam reveal how dynamic, revolutionary the Srimad Bhagavatam is. This is the second canto. In the first canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam states that those literatures which are glorifying the transcendental qualities of the Lord, they create a revolution in the sinful lives, the materialistic lives of the conditioned souls. So, these are all very, of course, revolutionary kind of statements. But each of them has got their truth. If we look from the transcendental point of view, one day we are walking on the roof of our building in Mayapur, the first international guest house and temple. And Srila Prabhupada was looking up at the stars. We were having some discussion about what the moon was made of, and so on. And then Srila Prabhupada pointed out, just as we look down on the little ants who are crawling in the ground, and we think that how insignificant they are with their minute civilizations. He said, similarly, there are entities on other planets looking down on the human civilization from the same perspective as we look down on the ants. And they're thinking, what funny things they're doing, building these horrible cities, running here and there. So, there's one thing which a human being can do, which can elevate a human being even above those higher planetary systems residents. That is to realize the transcendental reality, to realize Krishna, to know Krishna. Then one becomes a Vaishnava, which is a pure devotee of the Lord, and that is a position far beyond anything material. There is, after all, a difference between a human being and an ant. Even though there may be other entities who have such a long life and such power that they can look down upon us, that we don't doubt. But we do have the free will to be able to hear and develop our natural understanding and love for Krishna. So someone who neglects to do that is really missing the point. Not only that, they're missing the nectar according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is there any questions? Yes?
If I choose not to go to Krishna in this life, I come back to another life, and so on, until I choose to accept Krishna, then what happens?
Correct. But not every life do you get the choice. The choice is only possible in the human form of birth. One can also take birth in the animal species, and they don't have, their consciousness is not developed enough to see beyond eating and sleeping and mating and fighting and so on. So first thing is we have to be in a human birth. And there are many human births which are also, it's like if one's born in Russia or Vietnam or some other places, you might not get such a choice also. Or if you're born in some kind of uncivilized situation, you might not get that type of choice. You may have the ability to choose, but you need also that type of an association, that information to choose from. The scriptures, the shastra, Vedic shastra says that we are nitya badha. That means, nitya means eternally, badha means conditioned or bound in the material world. You can say we have like a life imprisonment. But we can get parole whenever we want it. But we only know that there's such a thing as a parole or there's somewhere else to go to in the human form of species or up. Animals don't have much intuition on these matters. And as a human being, therefore, it said that Atata Brahma Jigyasa, this is the time to inquire what are the alternatives? Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going to? What is the purpose of life? What existed before the material world? What exists after? How? What are the laws that make the material world run? Is there life on other planets? So many questions like this human beings can ask and find the answers out. So if one, after getting the information, finds out that there is an eternal spiritual world where there's no birth, no death, no old age, no disease, and if one decides that at the end of life or sooner or later, he'd like to go there, rather than continually take this risk of repeated birth and death in the material world, sometimes as an animal, sometimes as a human, sometimes as some other creature. Of course, generally, if someone chance, if they practice spiritual life, they get a chance to take human birth again. A human being, if he goes back into the animal kingdom, it is a symptom of being in gross ignorance. But once a person, the same soul, once it decides that he wants to get liberation and then surrenders to bona fide spiritual master, follows the system of bhakti yoga, then he can very easily end this cycle of birth and death, can achieve realization of Krishna. Once you achieve complete realization, then that soul is known as a nitya mukta. Mukta means liberated. Nitya again, eternal. That means that even we are in this material world for an eternity, for billions and billions of years, once we come above the material world to the plane of eternal time, it seems like nothing. Because there was a beginning to our come and there is ultimately an end. Even though it practically is like an eternity, maybe billions of years even. Once you leave the material world, even that scale of time in the spiritual world is such that that appears to be quite insignificant. And then one, in any case, no longer wants to come back again to the material world. The first time someone can fall down, the second time they don't come back. So once a person's freed, there's no more stigma. Not that, oh, he was fallen, now he's freed. He may again fall, nothing like that. No, not like someone who goes to prison after that forever, he's a marked man. When you're freed, you're eternally free. Clean slate.
Yeah.
He said, technically, until one achieves pure love for Krishna, one is 100% freed. So it's like kind of like a fire in the house. Say there's a fire in the house, you put water, you isolate it, take it down, and finally, it's just one little corner is just burning, few coals are still there. Everything else has been put out. But still you have to go on trying to put that out. If you just leave it, again it can flare up and start burning. So even though a person, he may be 90% put the fire out, or 95, or some great amount, but even at an advanced state, if they become careless again, until it's 100% out, it can again flare up. So once it's down to the very small percent, it's not difficult to keep it down. But when it expands, then it's difficult. So we have to always keep the fire reduced. Don't add any more fuel onto the fire. A person may have been quite pure, but if they become careless also, then again it can flare up. It doesn't mean that necessarily a person may have been quite pure, but that by offenses or by carelessness, by bad association, by accepting the offenses of other devotees, by so many causes, a person could again become spiritually polluted, I mean materially polluted. So therefore we have to, until, just like in a marathon, if you're just 10 feet from the end, then you decide to lay down. You have to finish the race, or you turn around and go the other direction. You get dizzy, so turn around. Finish the race to the end. So somehow, if a person chants the 16 rounds, follows the principles, just to the end of this body, they go back to Godhead. But somehow by different reasons one might become careless, and then that puts one in difficulty. So we saw the slides up. Taliban. Jayabharat had achieved the stage of Bhava. Bhava is the 99% stage of ecstatic devotion, ecstatic love. But he didn't consult his guru. Whimsically, he started to develop an affection for a deer. And so, although he had come up to the 99% point, he slipped back a little bit. And some of that affection went towards the deer, where it shouldn't have been placed in a deer. So therefore, it was also a way that Krishna made him more determined. because although he took birth as a deer, he didn't remember, he didn't forget his previous birth as a great king and a yogi. So that just was like more of an impetus in one sense. Due to his own mistake, he said even if someone may have reached a state of ecstatic devotion, he shouldn't think that he doesn't have to follow the instruction of his spiritual master, or he doesn't have to consult, he's already advanced enough, he can figure it out. If he would have consulted with his spiritual master, is this all right to have this deer, then he would have got the information. No, don't go out of your way keeping pets and all this thing. You develop attachment. Well, to safeguard against it. Of course, the cows are very dear to Krishna. That's why when we worship the cows once a year, remembering their pastimes with Krishna, that we learn to see everything in connection with Krishna. Right? Cows are for producing Krishna's milk. So by properly dovetailing one's thoughts and connecting them with Krishna, then one can be freed from that danger. There was no Krishna conscious. A cat has some function in us, you know, sometime I think they tend to. Cats and dogs, they have some function in certain communities. So do the cows, they produce milk. As such, a deer and other, they don't have that much practical function. Of course, in the Mayapur, we have deers, elephants, so many. But Bharat Maharaj had to become very affectionate. That deer died while giving birth to the calf. So the calf didn't know any other mother than Bharat. I don't know if the cat loves you that much. Should have set the deer free when it grew up. Anyway. One should never see something except how it's in relation with Krishna.